had to do with Wilmington International Airport because that's the only public airport in our region. So you'll see terminal improvements, runway expansions, and quite a few safety improvements, which of course took high priority. And actually, most of these projects are funded at this point in time. Then our region is very, very dedicated to bicycle and pedestrian projects, which is great. So we had over 200 projects, or I'm sorry, about 100 projects on this list in the fiscally constrained version. The committee that reviewed these projects actually started with over 900 projects to review. So there's a lot of need in terms of bicycle and pedestrian projects in our region. And it also included, I should mention, crosswalks, which are really essential to get people from one point to another. And I wanted to mention, particularly in Kiri Beach, I apologize for not having these totally memorized, but there are over 100 of them. But particularly in Kiri Beach, we have three crosswalk projects noted, one at K and Fort Fisher Avenue, and one at N and Fort Fisher Boulevard, and one at 7th and K Avenues. There were also a sidewalk or multi-use path along Fort Fisher Avenue from N to E Avenues, and along N Avenue from Fort Fisher to Atlantic. So you can make a little walking or bike trail and some crosswalks as well.
And the funding on those is all NA?
NA?
Yeah, across for all the Kiri Beach ones, I think. So that meant that that was... It had at the end, I think, $153,000 with one of them, but they didn't show where any of the
where the funding came from.
Yeah.
So, so sometimes when we had with the crosswalks, it had.
It may not have the crosswalk. I thought you. I didn't print out. Okay.
So NA was honestly what we put wherever there was a crosswalk.
It was a bike pass, crosswalk, there was several.
It should have had a cost estimate. It might not have had, we had a from and to column.
Yes.
So for the crosswalks, we had NA for the from and to because it was a crosswalk at that location.
Oh, okay. I just wrote that down.
Honestly, it could have been clarified. We anticipate those projects being funded between 2015.
Okay, what about, I'm sorry to be
pass,
but my understanding is Dow Road, since it does not have signage or indicators, that both lanes on there are not considered bike paths.
Correct.
And there was no, and that is,
that states.
And there is, that's going to be a big problem, and there was no consideration of providing any, I don't care about the next town, but at least from Kiri Beach on, about providing the signage and the bike things in those that would hook up then to K Avenue and then hook up to the other ones. So it's kind of like a, yes, Mayor?
Okay.
I know that's a state road, so that.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's not on the state property. It's on Sunny Point property.
Right.
The road is. In the Greenway plan, we have a multi-purpose path that goes from Carolina Beach State Park all the way to K Avenue and around to Joe Eakes Park.
Okay.
Okay. Even though they draw the lines for, and that's a multi-purpose path, 10 feet wide, that lots of people could use to jog, bike, stroll.
And this is off the road.
Yes. Then they have, in this plan and the DOT plan, bike lanes going through Kiri Beach and on down to the ferry.
Okay.
That's not something we've discussed in a lot of detail, but it is in the Greenway plan and it is in the DOT plan. However, Sunny Point, the powers that be, mainly the civilian staff at Sunny Point, refused to meet with us to discuss any of that. And this was earlier in the summer. It may have been because they were getting ready to change curbs, but they refused to discuss it with us. We wanted to because there were grants becoming available for us to do in-depth planning. However, someone over there on the civilian staff told a staff person over here, it was not John, that Sunny Point, all the way up to their offices in Savannah, absolutely would not approve any multi-purpose paths or bike paths anywhere in Curie Beach that were adjacent or on their property. So technically speaking, if you want to ride your bicycle or walk your stroller or jog, you need to go to Caroline Beach. Because right now, we're not going to have it. And the only way, first of all, I'm hoping the new colonel will sit down and talk to us about that and find out how much of it is true and how much of it is hearsay. And then if Savannah actually sticks to their guns on that, literally, we may have to go to our congressman to have that change. And I was told by the previous colonel months ago, when I had a chance to eat lunch with him and mention that, he did say that if we ever did have one down Dale Road, we would have to pay for the fence to put up adjacent there to the trees, which would be cost prohibitive.
So the bottom line sounds like that is outside the MPO's jurisdiction and...
Well, not so much their jurisdiction, but it's outside their control.
Their control, okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that our organization does is we work with partners. We have 10 different member jurisdictions, and we're getting a direction from our member jurisdiction. But we work with NCDOT, we work with the ports, we work with WAVES, Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority. We work with all these different partners, and we really couldn't do it alone, and sometimes we run into roadblocks. And then Mr. Allen might be able to educate us on the ferry projects. Unfortunately, this map looks a little meager. It doesn't reflect the vision and the visionariness, I guess, that the ferry modal subcommittee used to develop the ferry projects, but it was what we, and you can see down by Southport and Fort Fisher, we have additional mooring facilities and an additional vessel noted on the map. But the ferry modal subcommittee came up with a much, much more grand plan for how our ferries could function in our region. It just unfortunately wasn't fiscally constrained based on the existing funding mechanisms we have for ferries, but it is documented in the plan and can help us guide our development in the future should funding become available, or should we be able to look for kind of more innovative funding sources. John, do you want to speak to it?
This was the first time that ferry as a mode was in one of the MPO plans. We went, the additional vessel was about where the money cut off.
Now, is that a replacement or an actual addition? Or do you know?
A replacement.
It's a replacement.
What we put in the plan, and it would be, I think, a great idea along the way, was where it says additional mooring facilities, you have, like you could do, rather than the word ferry, we use water taxi. You could go from Southport over to Carolina Beach, maybe up near the Snow's Cut area, up the Cape Fear, out to Wrightsville, into Wilmington, over to Belleville, and you know, when you finish partying Saturday night downtown Wilmington, you can get on a ferry and ride back to Curie Beach. Maybe be sober by the time you got in your car.
Maybe catching fish?
Yes. But we had a whole water taxi plan for this area.
Yeah. I don't know if we have a population for that. I know like Baltimore and
San Diego and San Francisco.
They have a plan for water taxis.
Well, we put words in there that also try to incentivize a private corporation to do that.
You'd have to, yeah. I mean, it's a great idea to take the, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought one thing that was particularly impressive about the ferry modal subcommittee's recommendations were the idea of using ferries for emergency evacuation or being able to do something like that kind of on an emergency basis. Carried some weight with the feds. The next mode of transportation that we looked at was freight rail, and this included both roadway and railway projects. Really anything to support freight rail and chiefly the Port of Wilmington, things that they had desired. You'll see a bunch of number sevens on kind of in the around the downtown Wilmington area, and those represent all the existing crossings of the railroad and roadways. So upfitting all those crossings was one of the projects. You can't really see it very well right here, but if you look in the plan, there's a hash mark. The Cape Fear River Crossing Project, formerly known as the Skyway, we don't like to use that word anymore, is in this plan and documented in this plan, but an alignment hasn't been chosen for that plan, so we didn't want to draw a line on the map. We just hashed out the study area boundary for that plan.
Is this plan addressing the fact that many of our railway, actual railroad lines, they're too old to handle some of the new equipment and they have to be replaced, especially in the short lines?
You know, we honestly didn't get into that very much with this plan. The only short lines that we looked at were Genesee and Wyoming, the Wilmington Terminal Railroad right at the port, and the CSX lines. And both of those are private entities, so we worked with them and tried to identify their needs and see if there were public needs that we could address through public funds, because there aren't, we can't address all the, you know, private entities' needs through public funds. But we didn't really run into that too much with the railroads that we were working with in our region.
The problem in the future is going to be that as modern equipment comes out now, these lines are not prepared to run them. So if you don't drop new railways, you know, or someone, and I'll say it's our job, because the reality is a private operation, you know, semi-private if the government's involved. Someone has to address those or a dock is going to fall apart on you.
I think that's something really important that we'll have to get into in our next
update. Are we looking at a terminal transfer point somewhere in this area, that area?
A terminal transfer point?
Yeah, the best way
to get the trucks out of the city.
Yeah, you have a place where they, where the
an intermodal facility?
Comes into the port, it's short-hauled to some local location where it can go out on rail, it can go out on trucks, it can go out on water, depending what you have there, to get it to this next this destination. And that is a big job maker.
There's a lot of income.
There's some,
from what I understand, there's some legal restrictions on being able to drop containers on the railroads here.
That's right.
And the biggest problem we have is that goes back 50 years, which restricts us from dropping the containers on rail cars right here. I mean, they has to be trucked up to Charlotte or trucked up to the intermodal place right now.
Yeah,
the
that's about, right. We.
But if you upgrade your equipment, you make it around now.
Well,
that's right.
It has to do with unions
and politics.
I think the port has been negotiating very, very recently with CSX.
That's going to be huge if we can get that, the capability, because then you're exactly right. Then you're into an intermodal type of thing.
That's right.
I used to be on the Northeast Commission before they disappeared under the quarry, and we did all this work for the Northeast, and that's how they became very heavily involved in the TTUs and the railways and whatever else.
I think if you maybe, there's been some recent news stories on the Queen City Expressway. It's an initiative that the Port of Wilmington is undertaking in partnership with CSX to kind of address the fact that we don't have intermodal capabilities at the Port of Wilmington. It does allow us to double stack rail cars all the way to Charlotte from the port, and that's, or it will. It's a very, very new initiative, so I'm not sure how much, if it really has legs under it or not, but that's a newer initiative that they're just exploring. It wasn't really, honestly, very much addressed in our plan, other than through some policy initiatives, but there's no project that addresses that in the plan. So it's something we'll have to look at more in the future.
We could also
Next is mass transit projects, or mass transportation projects, and we looked at all types of things to support existing routes, since really what our plan looked at was capital improvements, so we didn't look too much at there should be a route here, there should be a route there, because that has to do with maintenance and operations for the fixed route public transportation entities, and we really got into the capital item. So things that our committee came up with that would really support mass transportation from a capital standpoint was the inclusion of additional amenities throughout our region. And I don't know if you've read in the news maybe that just very, very recently, Wave Transit has installed several new shelters. They've heard it. They heard it from our public. They heard it from the plan that our communities really feel like we need more shelters for people who are waiting for buses. So that's something that's already coming to fruition. Also, the Mass Transportation Modal Subcommittee noted that better access was required for people to get to their bus stops, which oftentimes meant adding more signalized crosswalks so people had a way to get to their bus stop. And we also additionally went into it a really minimal way, places where we could look at expanding fixed route service or express service or additional service. What we heard most notably was we needed better service up through the Porter's Neck area, and that there needed to be at least one express route that ran more frequently, because right now our only fixed route public transit provider runs on hour-long headways, which means if you miss your bus, you have to wait there for another hour till you get your next one. And also, this mode looked at park and ride lots and where good locations for those would be. The last but not least is our roadway projects, and we looked at projects really in three different categories. We looked at projects that would address congestion or access management, so roadways that might have too many driveways or that don't feel safe or don't really move as quickly as they can because the access isn't handled very well. We also looked at roadways that would provide a boost to economic enhancement, and roadway projects that would address existing safety issues or projected safety issues.
Let me ask, I'm going to put on a different hat.
Sure.
My administrative role at the university is really in charge of tech transfer and economic development and all that sort of thing. And I've probably talked to 50 potential high technology companies that I could bring into the Wilmington area. As startup, as licensing UNCW technology or using university faculty and all that sort of thing. I've got one. Mm-hmm. One has come here out of the 50 that I've talked to in the last year. The two biggest reasons why they are turned off by Wilmington, one is how unattractive the streetscapes are. You know, coming in down College or Oleander, things like that. You got digital signs, you got clowns, you got all that sort of stuff. Even before they get to talk to me in my office at the university, they say, this is an ugly place, why should I move here? You know, I can move to Cary, I can move someplace else like that. I mean, astounding lack of planning that has hurt economic development at the high technology level. Second reason is the congestion on College Road. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's being backed up, and you know, because we've got a millennial campus that we could put high technology companies into right around the university. It's been approved by the state and everything like that. But the ingress and egress is out of that, and the transportation now, whether you go the back road, you know, the Masonboro Loop and that sort of thing, or the regular standard, it is now so congested that it's extremely difficult. So, you know, for example, we have the Mar Bionics facility over there on Masonboro, which is a world-class wet lab, and it's only 50% filled right now. And the reason is because that road has become so congested. Well, one of the reasons it's become so congested that people don't, again, these high-tech type of folks don't want to live and then drive, get caught in congestion just to get to the Mar Bionics facility. So economic enhancement and congestion are intimately related.
Absolutely.
You know, right there. And I've been a professor for 20-some-odd years, and I have yet to see a single improvement on that road.
On College Road?
College Road.
I'll tell you one of our biggest problems with Claus Road is that it's our only problem. And I don't mean it's our only problem. What I'm trying to say is if you see the shape of our region, I say it's shaped like a pizza slice. Everything funnels to College Road. Right. So all the businesses want to be on College Road, which exacerbates the problems because everyone's trying to get to the businesses. But the only way in or out of our community is pretty much through College Road. So we've looked at several things that can really help. And some of them are listed in our transportation plan. One of them is improvements to Carr Avenue. We'll provide some more north-south connectivity, but that's really limited and really focused on Wilmington and North Wilmington. Another really, one of our major regional projects is Independence Boulevard extension, because that will provide a parallel facility to College Road and will help kind of funnel some of that traffic that is just going
that's
through.
That's going to become just congested. College Road, they're putting up all this parking. I drive there every single day, and I wait in traffic every single day. All the construction they're doing there, it's going to end up being the exact same. It's kind of Carolina Beach Road to Independence. It's College Road in the morning.
Yeah.
You said it used to take me 20 minutes to get to work. Yeah. It takes me 40 now.
And
get home in the summertime,
and
I'm not jumping
on you, but as a planning person,
sure.
Given that I know intimately, particularly with the type of folks, type of employment we're trying to get here, which is the high-value, technology-oriented, mm-hmm. they're the most sensitive to the city beautiful argument and transportation and bike paths and that sort of thing. That's what's going to get them here. We're a major university. We've become a Research 2 university and so forth. And yet, there seems to be a lot of planning, but how can we get action? Because I have yet to see a single change on College in 20 years, other than now they have two lanes, make a left turn off of Oleander and the College mm-hmm. versus one. That's the only change. Oleander's pretty much the same way. Market's pretty much the same way.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of planning going on, but I don't see a lot of action. And how can we get action? Because if we don't do it, we could become a high technology center. I mean, there's no question about it. If these two issues, the city beautiful argument, mm-hmm. which we're going down the wrong direction on that, and the transportation, this could be a major, we're the only coastal university city in the state of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge advantage. And yet, these are the two things that are keeping us from developing the economy in this high technology, high value added mm-hmm. area. And it's frustrating to me because that's my job.
To talk to people
and hear them say, even before they get to my office, this is an ugly place and it takes me 20 minutes to get here.
Sure.
And I can't sell the city on that.
You've got to look, we're in the competition for dollars. Mm-hmm. Wilmington, the only way you're going to do that is to come up with some kind of bypass situation. I mean, those roads are...
Or acquiring property and knocking down some.
What are you
going to
acquire? What are you going to make a college like 8 lanes wide? That's an impractical...
What's your suggestion?
Would be to widen that one part of College from 2 lanes to 3 lanes, which would require, buying that, those properties, the taxi towers and that sort of thing, which are right up against the road right now. We've got to buy that, and we've got to ride it into 3 lanes. The other thing is to cut out the suicide lanes, right there, and prohibit people from making left turns at certain times. How often do you see it's so congested that someone coming out of the tattoo parlor trying to cut across? I've seen so many accidents.
Jimbo's happy with that.
Well,
your commerce... you're asking for commerce, now you're trying to cut commerce out.
No. That type of commerce needs a zero economic development. Zero. These type of businesses, retail businesses, do not add to economic development, okay? I mean, there's certain things that do add to economic development.
That is
not
it.
And what I'm saying is that there's a lot of planning going on, and I commend, it sounds like you've done a great job, but how can we move this planning into action?
Sure.
What can we do, and what can the university do? I can speak somewhat for the university here, in my position.
And actually, we're working very, this is kind of an aside from the plan, but our organization is working really, really closely with the university to address some of the issues on College Road through smaller projects. In the long range, like kind of 8 years down the road, we do have a project that was funded from this plan to improve College Road through some access management initiatives. So that would be taking care of some of those two-way left turn lanes, is the term that we call them. I think you used the term suicide lanes. And addressing some of those issues. The problem is really, I don't see that we're going to be able to widen College Road too much. There might be some spot areas where there's a good acceleration lane, or there's a good use of putting in a right turn lane or something like that. But in terms of adding capacity, we're probably going to have to look elsewhere. The phrase that I like to, that I heard once that I really like is, widening the road to decrease congestion is like buying a bigger belt instead of going on a diet. So what happens is, this gentleman just mentioned too, what happens even with us is, it takes a long time to, from planning to construction to build a road. So by the time we have a road plan, funded, everything, developers have already come in and they said, ah, this road is coming, I'm going to get this parcel right here, and we're going to put something big, a huge apartment complex or something. So we get, anytime really we see capacity increases, we have an automatic development factor added to that. So
well,
there are some
solutions. I'm going to come back to your belt thing, okay,
sure.
Because when you have two lanes on College and then it goes to three lanes, I mean, just drive down there one time and you can see the difference in traffic and how attractive. I mean, you go to the three-lane area right in front of College, it becomes much more attractive, you don't have anywhere the congestion. The problem is that you have the two lanes going, you know, from about Shipyard. Well, it actually goes all the way down, but the congestion goes from Shipyard to...
Oh, kind of south of...
Yeah, to, you know, the south up to Olean...
adjacent to the park.
Yeah, you know, right there. That's where the congestion is, and then beyond that up to the Olean area, maybe right beyond that until it goes into three lanes. The biggest thing we can do for College is to widen that to three lanes, because the congestion occurs at that point. Now, ultimately, you're going to have to go from two lanes to three lanes, but you always want to do that when there's less movement and traffic, you know, when you're going from the three lanes back to two lanes or the two lanes to three lanes, so that sort of thing. So, it's frustrating because over a 25-year period, you know, of all the things that you've laid out here, which I think is very interesting, the roadway project congestion is the one that gets... It's dramatically impacting our economic development abilities here in the way that we've stated that we want to go.
Sure.
And it's one that people keep planning on, but I don't see a lot of action. Now, there is roadway development in bypasses and all that sort of thing outside, but dealing with the core problem internal to the core of Wilmington, I just don't see a lot happening there. And you know, maybe it's not going to happen, in which case we're going to be a third-rate city, you know, in the future when we don't have to be.
Well, hopefully we'll plan something and figure something
you know,
out.
I mean, that's reality.
What's the next step?
The next step. So we're also looking at, as I mentioned, so we look at a fiscal constraint for this plan, what we project coming from all these historical pots of funds that we have for each mode, and we project them into the future. We also polled our board to see what type of other kinds of funding mechanisms might be palatable to their areas. And these are the ones that one or more member jurisdictions said might be palatable. So local option sales tax, transportation improvement bonds. We saw the city of Wilmington pass one in 2014. Municipal license tax, vehicle registration fees, vehicle rental tax, and statewide auto parts tax, which would, of course, occur at the statewide level. Also, we looked at some project-specific mechanisms, and our board supported tolling for certain facilities after further study, or supported us to continue to look at that. So all of these mechanisms were added into the fiscal constraint of our plan, and some of the projects, any project that did receive alternative funding mechanism as a funding source for that project is starred in the plan, so you know it's a little different and it really does require some legislation, be it local or statewide, that would allow that project to occur. So now we'll go on to your role. First of all is to consider the projects that are in the plan in your development review process. So if anything comes up near one of these sidewalk projects, either on N Avenue or Fort Fisher or near the crosswalks, that you mention to the developer that this is in an adopted plan, and ask them to participate in creating the project. Also, give us feedback, which you've done a great job today. You know, I've been taking mental notes, and notes of your names as well. We'll definitely rally the troops and ask for your involvement with our development of Cape Fear Transportation 2045, because this is just the type of input we're looking for our next plan, and really the type of direction that Mr. Allen provided us when we were developing this plan. And again, the last thing is to participate in the development of Cape Fear Transportation 2045.
When are you planning to put the citizens group together for 45?
Well, that will be at the direction of our board, but we'll go ahead and work on a draft schedule probably starting in December. So we just passed we just adopted this plan in November of 2015. Our next plan will have to be adopted by November of 2020. And we'll start working on the schedule for that this December, so planning a little bit in the future.
How many plans have you done so far?
Have we done our organization?
For Cape Fear area. I mean, this is 2040, now you're talking about 2045. Did you do a 2035?
We did a 2035. We did
a 2030. You know, of your ranking, sure. I'm kind of curious because, you know, I mean, I see the bar there that looks like you get a certain amount funded. When you actually look back historically, what percentage of your projects, again, I think about the actual implementation, not the planning component, how many projects actually have been funded compared to where you thought it would be funded, you know, the reality versus the expectation?
And you know, that would be a really interesting analysis. Keep in mind that every one of these plans goes 25 years in the future, and it moves 5 years at a time. But we get quite a few projects funded. In our latest plan, I wish I had our annual report on us now, on me now, but we had over $200 million worth of projects funded in the last step that was just adopted for 2015 through 2025. It's a little deceptive because the projects are funded over such a long time period that, and
that's why I'm wondering how far back you went, so you can capture the long and short. So.
I mean, we could look just at the recent state transportation improvement programs to see as a metric of how effective our plans are, I guess, how many projects we've gotten funded through that, and that's what we do.
It'd be interesting to put in your report, I think. So.
Another issue, Craig, that Wilmington has, not necessarily the Rise organization or ours or any one of the little cities within the Wilmington region, is once we put this plan together and it goes to Raleigh, now our plan competes against Charlotte. And so we're
lower on the pecking order. I mean, there's no question about it.
That's
subtle,
too.
So they're doing a heck of a great job making Wilmington look good in those other competitions.
Could I say something, and maybe you can elaborate on this and explain it. It is so much better than it was years ago when it was really a political football and your legislators made a lot of decisions on who got the funding. And that has been changed. Can you explain a little bit about how that's been changed? And it's much more fair.
In 2013, I believe it was, the state passed a law called called STI, the State Transportation Investments Law, and it changed the process, as the Mayor Sorensen mentioned, to where everything is now data-driven, and everything is based on quantitative values and quantitative criteria. So every project is measured in a fair and equitable process across the state. The one thing that really affects that is, as several of you mentioned today, who gets to decide what the different criteria are and what they're worth really impacts which projects come out as the top
very glad to hear that. I didn't realize that, but I'm stunned it took us till 2013 to do this. I mean, what can I say? That probably explains College Road.
Thank you.
Any other business, John?
Move to adjourn.
I hear a second.
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Stand adjourned.